Hey, it's Alicia Bake from VO Booth Besties, and you're listening to The VO Life with Troy Holden.
The opinions expressed on this podcast may or may not reflect the opinions of the host. He's so wishy-washy, he'll believe this one day and that the other. Also, there's never any intent to hurt anyone's feelings or make anyone feel inferior, or that they're stupid or wrong. If you feel that way, then...
Get out of here!
There's nothing else to say. Let's move along.
Well, welcome back. We're here once again with another episode of The VO Life. Troy Holden coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee, your Nashville-based voice actor, embracing his Southern roots and his Southern accent. Yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm embracing it. This week, a couple of things we're going to talk about, and it's all going to tie together. One Voice is coming up in August 8th through the 11th. Yes, I am presenting at One Voice. It's what's called a talk. So that's one of those things you can walk into a room, you know, and listen to me for 50 minutes. And I'm going to talk about don't do that. And some of you have heard that episode we did on another VO podcast called Don't Do That. And that was, you know, all kinds of things you shouldn't be doing. And this will partially be based on that. And then it's going to also tail into how I started my marketing program and what I'm still doing and what's working and not working. And hopefully it'll help some people get off the ground with that. Tied into that, I had sat in a presentation Friday where they introduced a lot of the speakers, and imposter syndrome ate me up. All day, I knew that was coming up, and I just thought, man, I just can't, you know, surely they're not really going to let me come speak. I mean, I don't think it matters how long you've been in this. So I decided over the weekend, I started digging for some episodes from other genres or other people on having imposter syndrome and dealing with that. And I came across a really good podcast. Kevin James was on. If you know Kevin James, King of Queens, comedian, lots of movies with Adam Sandler and others, you know, Paul Blart, the mall cop and stuff like that. He's pretty darn successful, right? But to hear him still talk about having that as recently as this year, it was inspiring to me. It really helped me to understand that it's built into us to do that to a point. And his thing, and it was the Joe Rogan podcast. You can go back and find the, you know, search Kevin James on Joe Rogan's podcast and listen to it. You'll really like it because the Rogan is such a different personality. And then, you know, Kevin talking about how Joe would, you know, pump him up and help him get past some things, but their attitude of just screw it, you know, screw it. And do what you do and be the best at it you can be. And, you know, you're going to have these feelings. But what we cannot do with imposter syndrome is let it affect our value. And I think some people do that. I think they, you know, I saw some posts this week in the group. Somebody was, I've been in radio a long time and I need to price this 30-second IVR and I'm not sure how to price it. And, you know, people were saying GVAA, make sure they're not trying to slip it in as a commercial or a broadcast spot, yada, yada, yada. Somebody else posted a link to a blog that had some stuff about, you know, I don't know, it was kind of semi-negative. I didn't pull it down. I didn't think it was that bad. But the premise of all of that needs to be you are what you're worth. Don't do the, I've only been doing this a little while and blah, blah, blah. Here's the thing. If you've been doing this long enough that you can deliver, your sound is great, you've been trained and you're good at this, you're worthy. Okay. Don't discount yourself. And it's easy to do because you want work. You need to build a catalog, a portfolio. You need to be able to say, I've done this, I've done that. You got to build work. Well, you're not going to kill yourself doing it for a little less. Don't be ridiculous. But remember, it's your business. You've got to build it and you've got to pay your bills. One of the things I got into early was YouTube narration. I didn't advertise it a heck of a lot at the time. I didn't tell people, hey, go listen to my YouTube channel on Amazon's top 10 buys of the week, or go listen to this one about, you know, these boxing matches, and go listen to this one about SpaceX, and this one about Elon Musk, and this one is, you know, focused on electric cars. And the thing about all those were, you know, it wasn't that I had bad narration. The scripts weren't always that great, but I was teaching myself to read. It gave me something to read that I had to read. I didn't have to go look for stuff, whatever. So I didn't really advertise that a lot, you know, and over the course of 2 years doing 4,000 plus narrations, probably 3 years, maybe. And I still do one channel. That one does pay good though. The lower paid stuff I did was a learning base for me. It taught me a lot, and you can do the same thing. But that's not to say that you go undercut good jobs and push the pricing down. If you're going to do that kind of stuff to learn, you're going to do that somewhere like Upwork or Fiverr or wherever. You know, for me, Fiverr no longer is that. I only do maybe 3 to 4 jobs a month on there, and they are typically all over $200-$300. They're very close to GVAA or better. Sometimes I've got one client that pays more than that rate for local 30s. And, you know, just because they like the way it sounds, it's very geared to what they do. And there's others who try to pull the stunt now and then. They send you a nice long email, and here's my spot, and I'm just going to use it for this. And you're like, no, you're not. I know what that is. You know, like, yeah, it's very clear. That's a 1 minute, 60 second radio or TV spot, you know, and you just have to push back. And they normally seem to expect it. But what I'm getting at is when you start on those platforms, you're looking for the YouTube work and the whatever work to get you by, to put some money in your VO account where you can go get better coaching and do the things you need to do. That market is saturated, oversaturated. There's a lot of people trying to do it. It's hard to do it. And no, I don't recommend you go out and do those 1,800 word things for $5. I do not recommend that. Know your value and your time, but also look at those as teaching opportunities. And let me piggyback on to that and say that Voices.com, Voice123, Badago, all these places, they are not practice grounds. They are not the minor leagues. They're not where you go to learn. They are where you go when you're ready to compete. And you can produce very good audio. You can deliver it in a few minutes with a variable, a couple of 3 takes that are different, and you can connect to the copy. You know how to interpret that copy, and you know what you're doing. And I say these things so many times, but because I did it backwards, I don't want you to do it backwards. And that's not saying you can't do the lower stuff. Just don't advertise it, and don't muddy up the water with that is better stuff. And don't go do things you're not ready to do. Over and over and over, you're going to hear this on all these podcasts that, you know, there's a million paths to success. But don't choose a path that degrades the industry, degrades your pricing, degrades other people's pricing. You can do stuff at a certain level, a lower level, and make a little bit of money. You're not going to make a full-time income. Not likely. I mean, unless you're going to work yourself to death at a lower rate. But why would you do that? And it's to the point now where there's so much AI being used for a lot of that lower-paying stuff, it's not even advertised and out there as much as it was back in 2020, 2021, 2022. It's really changing. What else can you do to help that? Well, you know, yeah, the self-reading, go find things, workshops, blah, 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 whole new thing. Let me circle back to what we originally were talking about, and that's the imposter syndrome. And I want to tie that into OVC a little more. It was very hard for me at first because once you, you know, you get some things booked and you get acceptance and it feels great. And then when you book that first, I want to say major job, but you know what I'm saying. Something that'll be heard out in the wild, and you get that thing booked, and then you hear it a few times in the wild, and it washes a lot of things away for you. Let me also add that washing away doesn't last. Imposter syndrome comes back over and over and over. And I have it a lot because I book fairly regularly. I work, I do something almost daily. It's either through for regular clients or whatever. It is not glamorous work, but it pays good. And these are regular folks that come back all the time, whether it's some of the radio imaging I'm doing, some of the narrations I'm doing, podcast stuff I'm doing. Some of the podcast things I do are recurring because it's a different subject every week, and they have me read, you know, what it is and what they're going to be talking about. And I get, you know, every Monday I've got a couple of emails where I do a couple of those. And Tuesday I may get something from one of the five outdoor channels that I narrate. And then, you know, it may be I may get a Fiverr order that's a decent order. I may get a video sales letter from a direct client. I may get some IVR, you know, and whatever. I'm just saying it's not big glamorous work, and you're probably not hearing most of that work. And that's okay. That doesn't bother me. I want to be busy and I want to make a living. And, you know, 80% of what I do, it makes a living. And the other 20% might be stuff that is more, you know, out there. So 80% of the time, the work that I'm doing, I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. I don't think about imposter syndrome. But when I'm auditioning for agency stuff, or when I'm, you know, you come across something on one of the pay-to-plays, it's higher thing, you know, whether it's Pennzoil or it's, you know, something major. And then even now with more political going on, because that stuff is public-facing, absolutely, you can sometimes get in your own head while you're trying to audition and thinking, I'm just not popular enough that where they're going to use me, or my voice is this. And imposter syndrome will plague you that way, because you just think, you know, I don't ever think I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I feel like I do. I feel like I can deliver. I feel like I can interpret. I feel like I can turn it around as quickly as anybody. If I'm here sitting in my chair and something's sent to me, people are sometimes amazed how quickly they'll get it. Unless I'm having trouble with interpretation, and sometimes I'll go back to them and say, can you give me an idea what point of view you're looking for on this? Are you wanting this, you know, do you want this to come from the employee's point of view, or, you know, just an outsider, a narrator, observer point of view, or do you want like a family member? And sometimes I'll go back and ask that, especially if it's long form, because I want to be sure I capture that properly. You don't want to miss, what you should be doing. But most of the time, like I said, you know, it hits my inbox, let's say, you know, 8 a.m. and let's say it's podcast intro. They've probably got it back ready to put on their mix at 10 after 8 or 8:15, because it's, you know, short, you know, maybe it's 30, 40 seconds. I'll do about three different reads of it in different, you know, emotions or different whatever. I may make one a little more emotional, because a lot of these that go on these church podcasts, it may be a subject that you really need to nail a couple of emotions, and some of them are just informational, you know. So I want to be sure I give them choices, and I do those reads. Like I've said in a lot of these podcasts, I don't add a bunch of effects and crapola. And I send it off and it's done. And, you know, they're very appreciative because they get it right back and they know it. Even the outdoor shows where it's in-show narration, and, you know, I have to read through it first because I want to get the mood of what they're doing. Is it funny? Is it this? Is it that? And I'll do some highlights and make some notes and then pop it up and give it the read. They choose the tone. They tell me when they send it to me, we want this in the deep, gritty voice, or we want this in your regular voice. You know, and they may have some taglines in there, some ad lines, promo type stuff. They put it all in one script and I'll, you know, drop those in and sometimes do both voices where if they want to mix them, they can, whatever they want to do. And let's say that comes in at 9:30 and usually by 10:30, they've got it. There again, you're talking about a 20, 25 minutes of recording or as far as audio. And, you know, you go through and make your fixes and send it off. And so, yeah, you know, I think that's the thing. I can turn it around. Imaging, same way, you know, three takes maybe of each line back to back. Really no editing with imaging. So if they send me a page of imaging to read at 10 o'clock, they're going to have it at 10:30. If not sooner sometimes. And that's the way I operate. I run this studio from a Nike, just do it. If it comes in, just do it. I remember when I started, there were a lot of, and this is, of course, you know, like I talk about, this is where I started, Upwork and Fiverr. And Fiverr, there were a lot of teachers in the industry who said, don't deliver until like an hour before it's due, because that way it shows in your box as an active order and it looks like you're busier. And I thought, I'm not doing that. Because what if something happens? You know, it hits my inbox and I can deliver it right now. Why would I not do that and get it out of the way and get paid? Because you get paid instantly on there once they accept your order. And, you know, why would I not want my $175 or $250 or whatever I'm going to get for that? And why would I not want them to put in their review how freaking fast they got it and how great it sounded? That's what I'm looking for. I want reviews that say, you know, got this within an hour. Audio was stellar. You know, it gave me three different takes. This was a great experience. And that's the reviews you want on these platforms. You want everything five-star stellar, especially now, and because they made some changes and I've been fortunate to hang on to that. So, you know, all of that to say this, you know, set your goals, set your prices. Don't cheap out. Don't base it on how long you've been doing things. Base it on how well you know how to do them. And I guess me saying all that was, this is my process and how I've done it. And I think it's worked as far as trying to be quick, trying to be good, very good, trying to be accurate, making sure I give them exactly what they ask for, and then let them know when I deliver it, hey, if you need a revision, let me know. I'm here on standby, you know. But, and there are days that I'm not here, and I put that, I do the auto reply on my emails, I watch my phone, you know, and I'll quickly reply to somebody, hey, I'm out running some errands. I'll be back in about 2 hours. Is it okay to get it to you when I get back? And they're like, heck yeah, as long as I have it by Thursday, you know, or tomorrow or whatever in 2 days. And, but they pretty well know if I don't deliver it pretty quickly that I'm probably not here, you know, but I still like to let them know. Communicate. Has nothing to do with imposter syndrome, but we're getting there. All right. OVC coming up August 8th through the 11th. Talked about what I was going to do presenting. Yes, I do have imposter syndrome about speaking at OVC because of going to VO Atlanta for 3 years and being a participant, being a fan, being a person watching. And to now know that I've been doing this long enough, I have something to offer back. And that just warms me up inside because that's what the goal of all of this was from day one. If I do make it, if I do have some success, will I be able to pay that forward and share with others and help them? So on that side of it, no, I don't have imposter syndrome with that because I'm happy about that. I'm humbled about that. And I'm always glad to help and share. But the imposter part comes from the fact of, will anybody come? Because they don't know who I am. I'm not, you know, Mary Lynn Wisner and Dave Walsh and all these people that people know. I'm just a voice actor struggling to make a living. I'm just a guy out there in the ditches doing middle class and lower class work. I'm not booking national commercials on a regular basis. Yeah, I booked a couple, but you know, they're way far apart. And, you know, my agency where I'm in, I hadn't booked an agency job. And then I go down the rabbit hole of beating myself up and that I'm not really good enough to do this. Now we're back to Kevin James. Screw that. Screw all that. Be you. Stand up for you. Know your self-worth and quit beating on yourself. It's going to come back and haunt you again, but right when it comes after you every time, tell it to bite you in the ass. Leave me alone. I've got work to do. I've got more learning to do. I've got more to give. It's just the way it is. You've got to stand up for yourself and fight yourself sometimes. And I guarantee you, I don't care who it is in this industry, they'll all tell you they have a touch of imposter syndrome from time to time. Everybody does, because we are in a cyclical business. We ride waves every freaking day. The last 2 weeks for me, and this is the middle of April, so the first half of April, I did okay. I mean, I'm not quite to where I'd like to be for the 15th coming up. I like to be at least halfway to my financial goal. I'm close. I'm not where, you know, it's not as good as last month and not as good as the first 3 months of the year right now. It could just boom, boom, boom the next 2 weeks. That's how cyclical this is. And that's why it affects us like it does, because it'll get slow and we'll think, God, I must not be doing well with my auditions. I must not be this, man. Maybe I'm not as good at this as I thought I was. Maybe I've just been lucky. No. Hard work does not equate to luck. Hard work equates to success. So keep doing the hard work. Keep fighting off that little angel devil thing, one on each shoulder. Because when you get a win and you have a good day, that one on the one side's like, hey, 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 look at us. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, look at that. 4 shortlists today. I did 7 auditions and 4 of them got shortlisted already. Yeah, man, look, and I got this booked and these 3 things came in, and all that invoice I had that was 90 days past due, the guy paid it today. Things like that. You have a good day. Then the next day you come in, you have no email that morning, nothing to do. Maybe about 10 o'clock one comes in finally. Then maybe one audition comes in from an agent. And you look at it and it's really, you know, it's not really for me. I don't know. And by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you're like, not depressed, but you're not feeling so good. It is what it is. We deal with it all the time, every day. I can say I didn't deal with this when I worked a 9-to-5. I knew what my job was. We were busy every day. It was routines, you know. There were projects and things that came along that you were like, oh God, I don't know if I can pull this off or not. I don't really know that much about that. But you would go recruit other people and get them involved in your project that knew more about that. And it made you look good. That's what you do when you manage. But in this, it's just you, right? And you're relying on you and your results and your training and what you offer. So we are always our own worst enemy. But don't let it bring you down. All right. Wow. This was not meant to be a preaching or a whatever, but yeah, it is what it is, right? So I want to thank all the folks that have been helping out with doing some sweepers for the podcast for both this and another VO podcast. Thank all of you that have sent those in. I've got more coming, and I look forward to plugging them into different places in the podcast to break up the monotony. We have some really good guests lining up. We did a lot of guests and then we kind of stopped on another VO podcast. I'm trying to bring all the guests over there because it's, you know, with 3 of us or 4 of us asking questions, it can get more interesting, I think, than just me asking questions. Not to say I won't do any over here, but Over here, we're just kind of following my journey and what I'm going through every couple of weeks and passing that along and things I probably wouldn't get into on the other podcast. So thanks for listening to both of these. I really appreciate it. We just got news this week on Listen Notes that this podcast is ranked as a top 10% globally with a 29 listen score. And that's pretty darn good for a niche podcast, because this is a very niche podcast. If you're not a voice actor, you're probably not listening to this, unless you're my relative. And thank my cousins or whoever listens to me every now and then. Thank you. I appreciate that. But this is another thing that you imposter yourself about is, you know, why am I wasting my time doing a podcast? Nobody listens to this. And then you'll upload them and see all the people that are listening. And thank you. It's very much appreciated from the bottom of my heart. Now, I need your help and suggestions. OVC, One Voice, the theme is punk. How do I dress? What is punk to you? And Jenna Birmingham, great job. She's got on the combat boots and the stuff around her eyes, and she nailed it. Several people nailed it. And I had to send in a regular picture, and they're going to punk the picture. I'm curious to how that'll come back. But I had on an orange T-shirt, and I thought that's, you know, I don't know what to put on. I don't want to wear a spike dog collar. I don't really want to, you know, I don't have any hair to spike. I may have it by then. I am trying to let it grow back out. I don't know why. Midlife crisis, I guess. And, I don't know how much will grow either. There's not much, as some people say, there ain't much pasture up there for grass to grow. But we'll see. I think the soil has died in most of it. But we'll see what happens. But if you have any ideas on how I can punk it up, put that in the Facebook group or send me a message on Facebook and let me know, because I'm not really sure what to do. But like I said, I don't want to wear a dog collar and, you know, leather bands, and I don't want to go crazy. I talked to Jenna last night, and I said, I may go down to Nashville to like a Goodwill store and look for some grungy clothes or something, because, you know, punk can be kind of grunge, and maybe some old, I may find an old pair of lace-up boots, you know, you can wear them unlaced and stuff like that, and ripped jeans and, you know, just an old flannel shirt. I don't know. But I'm open to suggestions if you have them, and I'll try to pull it off. And really hope to see you there. It's a lot smaller conference, about half the size of VO Atlanta, a lot of different speakers. I made notes the other day. There's a guy named John Armand that I want to go listen to. Never heard his name before. And that's what I'm saying. The VO world is a lot bigger world than the world we all know. There are a lot of people making a good living that we've never heard their name, and I've never heard his name. And so I'm looking forward to hearing him speak and meeting him. I love meeting people that are not on the community radar all the time. So interesting. Okay, it's supposed to be nice and warm outside today. I need to go cut my grass and get my sinuses all clogged up. So on Monday, I'll sound great for those early auditions. And hey, listen, join us again here in a couple of weeks right here for VO Life. And you can join us every Friday. Actually, if you look on Thursdays, you can get the episode. But if you're not following it, you won't get the notice. But you can get another VO podcast, not another VO Life, another VO podcast. You can get those on Thursdays if you're slick and go in there and get them. But otherwise, you can get them on Friday. Anyway, we'll see you at both places. And thanks for being around. Thanks for all you do for us. See ya.
This podcast was not certified by the VoiceOver Authorities.